Sports Desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. Today is Monday, March 25th, 2019. It's my official duty to welcome you into a somewhat somber episode 75 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Normally, I would welcome you to Jubilation City, but that's probably not an accurate descriptor for this podcast. A couple hours earlier, Ohio State closed its season with a hard-fought, disappointing somewhat 74-59 loss to Houston in the second round of the NCAA tournament here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I covered the game here for the Columbus Dispatch along with Rob Aller, our esteemed columnist, and it's going to be a little bit of a different podcast here where Robo and I talked for a little more than half an hour. We went over three main topics and just kind of debated them back and forth a little bit as kind of a way to start putting a bow on the season and also start looking ahead to what looms ahead for the Buckeyes, because now we enter the off season. There will be plenty of things to discuss in the coming days, weeks, and months as far as how the roster might change and what sort of recruiting additions they might make, and lots of things to get into going forward. And plenty of different ways that we're going to have to continue to look back on this season. There's going to be a lot to get into. We'll continue to bring you podcasts once a week going forward. So at least once a week, you can expect to see something pop up on your phone, tablet, whatever. So please make sure you're subscribed. As you know, as I say all the time, it's not a specific schedule other than once a week. So if you're subscribed, it'll just pop right up on your phone or tablet or whatever. So please make sure you're subscribed. Please tell a friend. Thank you for all the support throughout the season. I hope you've enjoyed what I've brought you here from an audio standpoint, as well as all the writing. 75 episodes in, I feel like maybe I'm starting to figure this out a little bit. So we'll have lots of things to talk about as we get in the off season, but want to get this one out so it's here for you first thing in the morning when you wake up on Monday and drive to work or go to the gym or wherever it is that you listen to the world's finest podcast. So thank you as always for listening. If you would, and you know how, please leave a review. My boss has checked that stuff. I got a really nice email about the last email or the last comment that was left. So thank you to those of you who have taken the time for that. We're going to get into the loss and some of the thoughts going forward. But first, we'll take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
You have to stand behind a statement like the best buying experience in the business. Rosati Windows believes the right way to do business is really pretty simple. You have to be honest, you have to have integrity, and you have to care about what the customer is telling you and respond accordingly. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he trains all of his employees on the principle that the customer always comes first. Everyone who works at Rosati Windows cares about what they do and the product they put out, from sales, through manufacturing, to the installation, and all the way down until when they peel that last piece of film off the window. They are not going to leave your home until everything is right. It's this sort of commitment that Rosati Windows can proudly stand behind a statement like, Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business.
All right, and we're back. So we are in the hotel room of the legendary Rob Aller. Ah. Ohio State just concluded its season with a 74-59 loss to Houston, falling just short of the Sweet 16. We're here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We both have flights home in the morning. I guess technically it is already the next day, so it's March 25th. Mm-hmm. And we're here to just kind of break down. We got three main topics we're going to hit on just to start dissecting what this season was and what's sort of next for Ohio State. And so Robo and I just got out of interviews a little while ago. Pretty somber Ohio State locker room in a lot of ways. And then Chris Holtmann held court for about 15 minutes or so. There's videos of a lot of that already up on our Dispatch YouTube channel, so you can check that stuff out. I know, Robo, you wrote a column out of the game already. I've got a recap up. And by the time you listen to this, there will be a blog post and probably another story or two up. So you'll have all that to dive into. But one of the things that Rob and I were talking about here as we were walking back from the arena, which It's nicely only about a block from this hotel.
Yeah, nice view out the hotel window here of the Bach, although the Bach Center, which they call actually the BOK.
I learned that.
They're offended if you call it the Bach.
I learned that after I called it the Bach Center on like a radio interview I did, I think on Thursday. And they were like, oh, yeah, it's the BOK.
Yeah, it's a Bank of Oklahoma.
Yeah, we learned a lot on this trip.
Yes, we did.
So one of the things we were discussing on our little jaunt back after this game was whether or not this Ohio State team did, in fact, actually overachieve. And you brought up an interesting point that this was a team that was picked eighth in the Big Ten, and it finished eighth.
Right.
And this is a team that was projected to be on the bubble, and it was on the bubble. And then it got in the tournament and won a game. So, Robo, do you think this Ohio State team overachieved?
I don't think it overachieved. I think what happens in these situations is you get people can get lost in the season. We're all guilty of this, and you start to break it down into segments. You know, they lost five in a row. Then they lost three when Caleb Wesson was out under suspension. So those things stick in your mind, and so you look at a five-game losing streak and a three-game losing streak to end the season, and then you see them in the tournament beating Iowa State, who's a sixth seed, and they're an 11th seed, and you think, oh, you know, they've overachieved. This team is gritty. And I think we tend to play up teams that don't quit. And this team, to its credit, if I had to say, you know, what's the MO, what's the DNA of this team, is that they played hard all the time.
Yeah.
So it's a team you kind of want to root for, and you want to give them more credit
right.
in some ways than they deserve. But they didn't underachieve, for sure.
Sure.
You know, so they
sure.
were, to me, they were what they were. And it's funny, Chris Holtman said of Houston tonight, they were who we thought they were.
That's perfect, because he's right.
And that's exactly what, to me, this team was. This team was what we thought it would be.
I had this team finishing the regular season. If you go back and you look at the little special preview section that we do, I have to put predictions for the season in there. And I predicted this team would be eighth in the Big Ten, and they would be 18-13 going into the postseason. And they were exactly 18-13 going into the postseason, and they did finish eighth. But I still do think that this team overachieved, even though those were my preseason expectations. Some of that comes from the fact that in predicting them to go 18-13, I thought they'd be 10-10 in the Big Ten. I didn't think the Big Ten would be as good as it was. And I think that that added a different level of challenge to this team, where they finish ultimately the record that I thought, but the conference record was worse. And in spite of that, the fact that this team did make the tournament and win a game, I think that overachieves to me. But also, when I think of what I expected for this team at the beginning, I didn't expect this team to make the tournament. I didn't have to specifically, in my predictions, say like in or out of the tournament, but I didn't think this team would get there, because I didn't think that necessarily 10-10 in the Big Ten and 18-13 overall would be a tournament resume. I didn't necessarily think that would be enough to get them in. And so, to me, given that I didn't think that the tournament was, I don't want to say attainable, but just I didn't think this team would get there. I thought that there would, you know, eighth place in the Big Ten, would that have been good enough in a lot of years to get you into the tournament? I didn't necessarily think so. So from that viewpoint, I think that they overachieved.
I think, you know, the danger of all this is the word overachieve is a powerful word, and so is underachieve. You tend to think overachieving is you went way beyond, you know, what people thought, and underachieve is you were a failure. You know, technically, maybe they overachieved by your parameters. But if they did, it was barely in my view. So,
And I also think if you look at, for this team to be successful, how many things needed to go right coming into the season? You had to have Keyshawn Woods play at the level he ended up playing at by the end of the season. You knew he was going to have to come in and shoulder a significant load. He's going to have to figure it out with this new group of guys. You had four freshmen and three sophomores that all had to play significant roles. And those sophomores and then Andre Wesson, the junior, they all had to take steps forward. And there's going to be a lot to write about and talk about Andre Wesson going forward. And that's not even one of the, you know, topics that we have here to go over tonight. But, you know, you needed a lot of guys to go from averaging like 2 points a game to averaging 6 to 10. And you got Kyle Young made significant steps forward, and Musa Diallo down the stretch made significant steps forward, and Andre Wesson had arguably the biggest jump forward of anybody. And Caleb you know, played at such a level, at least from a production standpoint, where we really saw what this team could do, or, you know, what this team was without him. So when you had so many question marks, to me, getting in the tournament, this should have been more than I think people would have expected. That's why, another reason, I guess, why I think they overachieved.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that, you know, we'll agree to disagree on this one.
All right.
I think, again, there were elements of they persevered. I would say this team persevered.
Sure.
And that this team, it could have gotten a lot worse and gone sideways given some of the factors of the season.
Sure.
So I would say they showed some backbone and ability to hang in there more than overachieving. That's where I'll leave it.
Okay. So next thing, moving on to senior CJ Jackson, who just wrapped up his Ohio State career tonight. So one quick note, because I was tracking this, but when he hit his first three-pointer, that moved him right past 1,000 career points. He came into the NCAA tournament 4 points shy of 1,000 points for his career. He got two in the Iowa State game. They didn't need him to do a lot, I don't feel. I mean, they won that. He was 1 of 8, 0 of 5. From three, finished with 2 points. So he came into his last game needing 2 points to get to 1,000 for his career. He hits his first three of the game. He finishes the game. He goes 4 of 11. No, I'm sorry, that's Keyshawn. CJ was 7 of 5 from the floor and 4 of 11 from three. Has a team high 18 points, 3 assists, 1 turnover, 1 rebound. He played 37 minutes and 5 seconds in his last game. And so you and I have had some conversations the last 3 or 4 days, mostly since we've been here in Tulsa, about CJ, about his shooting, about I guess just sort of what he has brought to the table. And so what did you think of what he gave them in what was ultimately the last game of his career?
Well, you know, I can fully admit that I was wrong on CJ in terms of this game. From what I saw, and you've seen him much more than I have, but sometimes that can work. That can work as a negative.
Yeah, sometimes you don't see the forest for the trees.
Right, I come in fresh with fresh eyes. I would just say, and I hate to sound like the masses, because I know he has a lot of critics, fans. I know these are our fans listening. You know, we can't really buy into what fans are saying a lot of the times because they're so invested.
Right.
There's so much passion there. I get that. That said, I'm probably going to lean in the direction of a majority, I would guess, of fan base that says, CJ, he's not a point guard, really. I mean, this is almost mirrors what I was saying about the season. He persevered. He's not a point guard. He was put in a position where he had to be a point guard. So, setback, big picture, where is this team without CJ? This team's in a world of hurt this year.
Right.
Because they didn't have a point guard.
Right.
I would say that, he was adequate as a point guard, dependent on the night. Tonight, he was, he never really does anything incredible. Even though he had 18 points and only one turnover, so which as a point guard, I guess, is what you're looking for. And you get 18 points from a point guard and only one turnover, that's a huge success. He just never really looks that incredible doing it. I don't know what that says about him. And really, maybe this is a style over substance issue, because the style of his shot is just, it's hard to watch him. I tweeted that the other night, which is, sorry, it's just painful to watch his shot. Now, you know, it went in 36% of the time tonight,
right?
Something like that.
Yeah, and
so it's an analytics statistics question versus an eyeball test question. I'm sure that you will be able to, and you're probably going to, throw some stats out here that kind of say, hey, this guy is, he's pretty good. I look at it as just from my view is like, I don't know about CJ, but I got to give it up to him tonight. He kept him in the game.
I think what's interesting with CJ is that I don't know that the numbers and what you necessarily see in person always mesh perfectly. Like, I always think maybe the best example, and to switch sports, but like sometimes when Fausto Carmona pitched for the Cleveland Indians, he would, at the end of the season, you look up and he would be 12-10 with an ERA of roughly 4. But when you would sit back and we watch him game by game, it'd be like a game where he gave up 8 runs in an inning, and you'd be very frustrated because you would think about all those times. But
yes.
But then the numbers over the course of the season, when you get the full body of work, you realize, okay, serviceable or slightly above average. And so Like, I mean, when you go with CJ and you start, like, going down the numbers, I mean, coming into the tournament, he had 22 in the comeback against Wisconsin. He had 17 in the Big Ten tournament win against Indiana. He had 8 against Michigan State, 2 against Iowa State. And then before that, I mean, it was rough going. He had 9 at Northwestern, 2 at Purdue, 6 against Iowa, did not play in the Maryland game. He was hurt. He had some slumps. He had some...
So he's streaky.
He's streaky. He is 100% streaky. I think that is a great word to describe what he gave them. Like, even just looking, coming into the game tonight, where against Wisconsin, he was 2 of 5, and against Indiana, he was 3 of 6. So in those two games, he was 5 for 11. And then his next two games, he was 2 for his next 13 entering the game. And then tonight, he goes, what did we say, 4 of 11?
Yeah, so if you catch him on the wrong night, it's not going to look good. And I've caught him here in the tournament, which Iowa State, actually, you could argue that his shooting was bad against Iowa State, but he went the whole second half without a turnover or something. He had
against Iowa State, CJ was 1 of 8, 0 of 5. He had 3 assists and no turnovers in that game.
Okay,
and plus minus can be a deceiving stat for a single game, but he was a team best plus 12 in that game.
Yeah, so he defends.
He defends.
He defends, and if you want to get into intangibles, he's a senior. They need a senior leadership. I can't speak to whether the guy was a great leader or not. I think he's a senior.
I think so it's clear he struggled with that at times.
I think he struggled.
I don't think that's...
That's not a strength.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was... That's not his personality. Maybe that's the way to put it.
And really, he was never brought in to be that guy.
No. He's been put in a... challenging situation
from day one.
He had to come in for
he replaced AJ Harris on the roster, because he came in, all those freshmen transferred out, and then Jaquan Lyles, the only holdover,
right?
And so CJ came in to help shoulder some minutes in behind Jaquan, and then by the end of the season had outplayed the former five-star recruit and had taken over the starting spot. And I remember watching him that year just thinking, like, he'll never be anything more than a middle of the pack roster guy,
right?
And to me, the fact that he ends up a 1,000-point scorer at Ohio State is fairly shocking.
I would agree with that. He's a very sneaky, misleading point guard. I can't fall in love with him.
No, as a
player, but I guess I have to respect that in a season again where there were a lot of ups and downs, including his game, they didn't crumble. They didn't fall apart. I think that's somewhat CJ, give him credit. I think Keyshawn Woods gets some credit. But, I mean, we don't have time to get into that. He's not on our list to discuss. But there's a whole other story of a guy who disappeared and then appeared.
Yeah. Good news is I have a long off season of at least one podcast a week, so I can can dive into every
Save
one
it.
Of these guys.
Save it.
I will say too, like, looking at CJ's numbers for his career, as a sophomore, he averaged 5.6 points per game, shot 32% from 3, 39% from the floor. There's nothing that I saw in that season, averaging 19 minutes a game. There's nothing you saw in that season that said this guy's going to score 1,000 points. You know, it's.
Yeah.
Look
at his total minutes. Maybe there's something there. He plays so much that just by process of elimination, he's going to get points.
Well, for his career, he averaged 26.8 minutes per game. And all this, I off just a little bit. One game doesn't necessarily skew it too much. But going into the Houston game, averaged 26.8 minutes for his career, averaged 10.1 points, and was a career 36.4 percent three-point shooter. He shot 40.7% from the field and a 75.7% shooter from the line. Would have liked to see him get to the line more.
Yeah, that's just not his game. And I think, again, perception versus reality. He's the classic perception versus reality guy. You cannot watch the way he shoots the ball, you know, from his stomach. You know, it's a set shot type thing when he's open. You cannot see that and the way it knuckles and two hands on the ball and say, this guy is a shooter. But, you know, he's got 1,000 points. So, and part of that, I think, is because he's had to score.
He's had to.
I mean, this is not a team. He's not been on teams with the exception of last year, a little bit with Kata Bates Diop, and, you know, it was a good team. He benefited from that. Let's face it, right?
Oh, sure.
But he's, especially this year, he's had to be a scorer.
Yeah. You
know? So anyhow.
Yeah.
Good job, you know. Props to CJ tonight. I thought he'd have another, you know, bow wow game, and he proved me wrong. So I can admit when I'm wrong.
And you feel for a guy when you see the career end, and I mean, he had a face in his jersey, walking off when and Holtman subbed him out with like 26 seconds left, and you know, I just, there's that part of me that I always feel for those guys when you see how much it very clearly meant to them. And CJ's, he's never been a great interview. He's not a bad interview, but he's very kind of quiet and unassuming, and he's never, like, there have been very few times I've come out of a CJ interview session and be like, man, that guy gave some great quotes or insight that's really going to make this story. You really have to work with CJ. It's just not his personality.
It's not.
And so to see
again, for a guy who doesn't cover it as much as you do, I would put CJ in the top three of guys I would want to interview, because he can at least say things that I mean, you ask him a question and he has an answer, and he can talk, he can say more than and that. So, you know, maybe that's senior, maybe that's being a senior, but I find him, I give him higher marks maybe on that than you did there. But again, I'm not around it.
That's fair. And he also, I mean, he had to step up and he had to take the heat when things got bad. You know, we'd be, the times I'm on the road after they lose at Michigan, they bring out CJ. You know, you go down the list, whenever it was a tough loss, that's the one guy who had to come out and face the media. So I will give him absolutely credit for that. But now, looking ahead, CJ's not there. Mm. Keyshawn's not there. Joey Lane's not there. And I'm sure there's going to be some roster turnover. Holtman said as much. I did ask him that tonight if, you know, what the odds are that the roster will remain intact and this group will be back. And he said, you know, it's the nature of college basketball. People come and people go. And I would expect that some of his assistants will get some phone calls and possibly have some interviews. I think Ohio University hiring Jeff Bowles as their new head coach, I think, is probably a good thing for Ohio State, because I would have thought that Ryan Peden would have been a pretty good fit for that. And I thought that would have made a lot of sense. That'd be a good next step for Ryan Peden, because I do think he's a head coach in waiting, as I think the other guys on the staff will have those opportunities too. But all that to say that the future seems to be pretty bright around this program. I think that's a fair, straightforward way to kind of put it when you look at how much returns off this team. And we just had a 10-minute conversation about how good really is CJ anyway.
Right.
And, I mean, Keyshawn struggled and was a non-factor for significant stretches of the season, then played out of his mind the last couple games to close the season. So when you think about the guys that this team leaned on for most of the season, they're mostly back.
Yeah.
And then they bring in a 3-man recruiting class as it stands right now that is a top 10 class that addresses a lot of these needs. I mean, there's going to be a playmaking, scoring, high-energy point guard in DJ Carton, and then you add some forwards in Alonzo Gaffney and EJ Liddell that just bring a different dimension to this team. Guys that can slash and guys that can get to the rim and things that this team doesn't create off the bounce. They're going to be able to do some of that.
Basically, they look a little more like Houston tonight.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's what Houston did. Houston won this game tonight better athletically.
Yep.
Much faster, quicker, however you want to say it.
Nastier.
Got to the spots. So what I found interesting, and my respect goes to the Cougars, is that defensively they got to their spots.
Yeah.
A lot of times you have a run-and-gun team and defense is just sort of helter-skelter. No, they play good defense, and, you know, love or hate Kelvin Sampson, you know, he knows what he's doing, and they looked pretty good. I think there's a caveat to next season. We can discuss this briefly.
Yeah.
Is that they've got these guys coming in. They're going to be freshmen. There's a learning curve. I don't care who you are, unless, you know, you're Kentucky or Duke and you've got, like, you know, Zion and these guys. And even he, boy, well, we won't go there, but, you know, Doinkin went off the front of the rim tonight and they got a break. And
he had how many?
Miracle.
He had 30-odd points.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's...
I love
me some Zion.
Miracle finish for the Dukies again, you know, whatever. We won't tangent too much there. But Caleb Wesson, Caleb Wesson. Okay, he needs to, you talk about guys needing to step up. He has to take it up another notch. And the question is, what's the ceiling? Can he do it? And I'm not talking just on the court. He was shut down tonight, not necessarily because of anything he did wrong, but they just doubled him, and they had no answer. Ohio State had no answer for, you know, defense in the paint.
Very weird stat line for Caleb. Not to cut you off, but to your point,
I call you stat breath. Go ahead.
Well, I've got it right here in front of me, but it was very odd to me watching this. So Caleb drew 11 fouls. Houston committed 20 fouls, so he drew 11 of the 20 fouls that they. He was 7 of 10 from the free throw line. So 10 of his 15. No, I'm sorry. Seven of his 15 points came from the line. He was 2 of 6 from three and 3 of 7 overall. 6 of his 7 field goal attempts were threes.
Yeah, well, he had to because there was nothing there.
Yeah, and when he got the and from talking to the players, it wasn't just that when he got the ball that they were. It wasn't that they were necessarily just denying him, although the Ohio State did turn it over plenty of times trying to get it to him. But that they're just so quick, and they're so good at doubling him and pressuring him when he would get the ball that he had to kick it out somewhere. And so it's, you know, when your center finishes with 1 2-point field goal attempt, that's
an issue.
It's a bizarre stat.
Yeah, it's an issue, and it's like you could argue, you know, glass half full, glass half empty. Either way you want to look at it. A guy who is supposedly, you know, the linchpin of your offense, that can't happen no matter what the defense is, right? If you're an NBA, I mean, he's not an NBA guy at this moment.
Right.
He's a, you know, Europe guy or, you know, right. maybe. Yeah.
He's a four-year
college player. Or he should be. Now, he needs to step it up with conditioning,
yep.
his body,
yep.
and then we don't want to go into this too much, but, you know, his common sense. You know, off the court, we don't know exactly what happened with the 3-game suspension, but something happened.
Right.
And, you know, it's a maturity issue. And I wrote earlier this year, it's a trust factor now. I mean, how can you trust your leading scorer, your leading rebounder? He's coming back. He needs to be more of a leader. He'll be a junior.
Yep.
What happens if he gets suspended for 3 games next year late?
Right.
You know, it's right. a little bit like, how do you rely on that? And they're still going to run the offense through him, I think. I mean, maybe they're going to – after what they saw tonight and with the unknown, maybe these freshmen, maybe they're going to have to a little more transition. And he gets – I just don't know if he gets left behind, though, because – they've run everything through him. They got to work him. Maybe they work him into a different-looking offense, and they don't run everything through him. I don't know. What do you think?
A couple of things. One, there was a lot. One of the things Holtman talked about recently was that in the offseason, you sit down and you look at who are your guys that can command a double team, who are your guys that you know the other team is going to immediately game plan for. And when they did that with this year's team, maybe harkening back to our CJ conversation, the only guy that they knew that was going to be was Caleb.
Exactly.
When you start looking at next year's team, I think all three freshmen possibly are guys that they're going to have to account for to an extent. And I think you're going to have we can talk more about him later, but I think CJ Walker, having been out for this year satisfying the transfer rule, but having played at a high level at Florida State for the last 2 years, you know, I've gotten to watch a little bit of practice, and when I've been around the team, what I've seen, he's good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
he's kind of a forgotten guy. You hear about these three freshmen, and you don't hear about him.
When I talked to Keyshawn tonight after the game, and we were talking about next year, he made a point like 3 times to mention C.J. Walker before he talked about anybody else. Like, he's a firm believer that C.J. Walker is a star. And I don't think – I'm not saying, like, Scooney Penn transfer level. I mean, like, you know, he
obviously, where's he gonna play?
He's gonna be the point guard. He's an actual point guard, right?
Yeah. He's a true point guard. Okay.
So I think that I don't know that Caleb, he's not gonna be the only guy that teams are gonna say, they're gonna circle him and say, we gotta handle him. So I do think there's gonna be some more emphases other places on other positions where the teams are gonna have to focus. I don't know what the ceiling is for his game, because I don't know how he gets more explosive, and I don't know. He needs to get in better shape. We talk about it all the time. I don't know how much better shape he can get in. I don't know. Like, he's at, like, 270, and we were having this talk Saturday night out for some food and some beverages, and we were talking about him and saying how he needs to drop, you know, some more weight. It's like, is he at his best if he weighs 250 pounds? Like, I don't know that that makes sense. Like, at some point, I think if you keep cutting weight, then he's just going to get beat around like he's Micah Potter.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Like, you run into that a little bit. That takes away some of his strength. I don't know how much more explosive he can get. I think that the biggest thing for Caleb, like you talked about already, is that you've got to know that he's going to be there. You've got to know that you can count on him.
And we haven't talked about the foul trouble.
Oh, yeah. No, that's... Yeah, I mean, that's, without even getting into that, it's when you start wondering about, he got suspended for a game as a freshman, being late to meetings. He was held out of the starting lineup with three other teammates earlier in the season for being late. He gets a 3-game suspension that almost completely sabotages the season.
Right.
I think that it's strange because I don't think that Caleb is he's not a bad kid. I don't get the sense that, like, he's a distraction in the locker room. I was really on guard for that when he got suspended. And I wrote about that, like, when you have a guy who you rely on him and then he's not there when you need him the most, that's a killer. And that could really bring resentment in that locker room. And I truly don't believe that that happened, which tells me that he still has the respect of his teammates in spite of this. So I think there is something there to build from, but you have to know you can count on him to be there for a 31-game regular season plus postseason, and he hasn't yet shown that. That's got to be – I would say that's probably off-season priority number one. You got to sit down with him, and I don't know if it's a come-to-Jesus moment or whatever you want to call it, but you got to say, look, dude, like, this in a lot of ways is going to be his team next year.
Yeah, I agree.
And you – with
it was his team this year.
It was,
in a sense.
But he still had the excuse
on the floor.
But he still had the excuse if he was a sophomore. You could hide behind that a little bit and say,
right,
you know, as a freshman, he had, you know, it was Kata and it was Jay Sean, it was Cam, and then, you know, Caleb did some things, but we only played like 10 minutes in the two NCAA tournament games last year combined. Those teams spread the floor. They couldn't put Caleb out there. So he did things as a freshman and he was out there on the court, but like as a sophomore, you still had that. He's, you know, we've put so much on his shoulders. There's so many questions on this team, and we're putting more on him than we probably should. All those excuses are gone. Now you've been through the gauntlet. You have had it on your shoulders. You've been the guy. And now, I mean, he needs to be an All-Big Ten player next year.
Yeah, and I think the issue you're going to run into, it's like a slow train coming. We can see it. These guys that are coming in, and the point guard from Florida State, Chris Holtmann wants to play better and play more transition basketball.
Yes.
And that is not Caleb Weston's strong point. I mean, this is why he has to lose some weight,
right,
maybe, and just – is it? I'm not sure it's even a weight or conditioning issue. Maybe it's a strength issue. He just needs to get
point.
A little stronger.
Yeah.
You know, I found it interesting where I think it was Chris Holtmann said he has, or somebody, maybe it was Houston's coach or Iowa State's coach that said he has incredible hands.
It was Holtmann. He said that the other day he has the best hands he's ever seen.
Yeah, which that is always, you know, the devil's in the details of that one. What is the definition of best hands? I think he has soft hands that can catch passes. You know, it's like a wide receiver. He's got good hands to catch passes. He has got some, you know, dexterity, hand-eye coordination, whatever you want to call it. I don't think he has strong hands.
Yeah.
I see the ball when he's under the basket, I see guys take the ball from him in the limited time I've seen this year. So I think he just needs strength. I think you can't coach want to and aggression, really.
Yeah.
And he's not. It's funny. I don't think he's a really aggressive guy, but he does get frustrated with the fouls, and you know, as we saw this year. So I think there's a maturity issue. I've just said I think there's a maturity issue with Caleb Weston, and I think he needs to grow up, become more of a leader. And I agree with you that is probably priority number one during the offseason.
Well, I think that's probably a good point to to cut it off here because we're God only knows what hour it is right now.
It's early.
It's late and it's early. Yeah. We're in that weird hour.
Hair's starting to grow all over my face. I'm ready to go werewolf on this whole thing.
I'm almost done with this beer here. And yeah, I'm going to go finish up the post-game blog. Not to get devil in the details, but it's when it gets this late, I know as we're recording this, everybody's asleep anyway. So
right.
By the time everybody wakes up in the morning, the blog will be up, but it's not up yet. So I got to go finish that up.
By the time you wake up, listeners, we'll still be asleep.
Hopefully.
That's how it works, hopefully.
So we both catch our flights home on Monday, and then we'll have lots of stuff to break down this game and this season and the next couple of days and couple of weeks because there's a lot to parcel out. I've got a bunch of notes out of the game tonight that, you don't want to dump everything right away. And we're lucky enough that at the Dispatch, we care enough about Ohio State men's basketball that we have a dedicated beat writer.
Right.
And so, I mean, I feel very fortunate that that is my job and that, I'll spend the next however long making sure that we kind of put a bow on this season and start looking ahead to next year. So there's a lot of content to come. We really do appreciate those of you that subscribe, those of you that listen, those of you that click, those of you that, well, most of you that tweet. We'll leave it at that. But
no one's going to outwork Adam Jardy. I can honestly say that listeners, readers, no one's going to outwork this dude. So you're in good hands on this beat.
Well, that's just because he's had a couple of beers.
No, I have not had a couple. I've not had a couple.
Well, I appreciate that. So
it's couples too, right?
Couples too. Yeah. All right. So yeah, we're gonna sign off here from Tulsa, and we're gonna head home, and we will catch up with all of you soon. So thanks to Patrick, the Podfather, back at the studio for putting this all together. Assuming that he could be bothered to get out of bed early on a Monday morning and and make us sound coherent. But thanks to him for putting it together, and we will be back. Soon. Make sure you're subscribed and then it'll just pop right up on your phone. But until next time, thanks everybody.
Au revoir.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.